Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Kind of a historic day, not just on The Takeaway, but in the world, Miles O'Brien. Miles is filling in for John for the rest of the week, I should say, because it is Thursday. It is August 19th, and this is the first day that we are not technically at war in Iraq.
Yeah, I wonder how true that really is.
Whether it's a dubious distinction.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go more into this. It has been 7.5 years. It's cost more than $700 billion so far. Actually, the money allocated for the Iraq war through September is $900 billion. More than 4,400 American services members dead. At least 100,000 Iraqi civilians dead as well. Is the war really over? Here to help us look back is Joost Hilterman. He's an Iraq analyst with the International Crisis Group. And Jane Aroff joins us again. She's a correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. Jane, you are in Baghdad now. Can you tell me what the mood is like there? We spoke with a citizen of Baghdad who said that they're not really concerned about the withdrawal of combat troops. They're more concerned about the instability of their own government.
That's absolutely true. The theory is that they're a little bit related. I mean, we haven't really seen combat troops here for a long time. They have been in the country, but since June of last year, their hands have pretty much been tied. They've been out of the cities under a security agreement. And what this really is today is symbolic importance, certainly as a landmark in the war, certainly vitally important to those many Americans and the American soldiers who have served here. But really, in terms of impact, not so much. This is a country that's grappling without a government 5 months after elections. Hardly any electricity. There are water shortages. It's a very, very tough summer. And the toughest thing is the uncertainty about what happens next year when all the troops leave.
Well, Joost, let me ask you the question that I asked with Miles O'Brien just a moment ago. Does this mean that the war is over? Will Thursday, August 19th go down in history as that day?
If you mean, the war, what is the war? There is at the moment no war in Iraq, but there is an American military presence that has just been reduced to about 50,000 troops, which is still a very significant presence. There is no fighting at the moment worth mentioning. There's still violence. There's too much violence, in fact. But what the Iraqis fear, and that's the uncertainty that Jane referred to, is that things could go south again, that the civil war that took place between 2005 and 2008, roughly, could come back because of the political stalemate, and now because of what has now become a stabilizing element that the American forces have provided over the last couple of years. And so we need to look at this date as possibly as a turning point if, in fact, the political process grinds to a halt, and then what the role of American forces will be.
Joost, I want to ask you about American objectives. They changed quite a bit from the beginning of the invasion in 2003 to today. Here's a comment from John Murtha, congressman from Pennsylvania.
What was the first goal? The first goal was to get rid of weapons of mass destruction. The second goal was to get rid of Saddam Hussein. Well, they did that. And the third was to destroy the enemy and then get rid of Saddam Hussein. We've done our job militarily. It's time for us to get out.
That, again, was the late John Murtha of Pennsylvania. There are still many Americans who mistakenly believe there is a connection between Saddam Hussein, al-Qaeda, and 9/11. Does it matter in terms of examining the U.S., success or lack of success in Iraq? Does it matter that we changed the objective so many times?
Well, I think it matters because it confused the Iraqis thoroughly. For the Iraqis, what mattered most was the removal of the regime. There is no question about that. And most Iraqis are still very happy about that. But the confusion of motives, the fact that one day it was this motive that was cited, and another day it was that, led the Iraqis to really deeply distrust what the American motive really was. Was it to serve an Israeli agenda? Was it to seize control of the oil resources? They just didn't know. And added to that, the failure of American troops to provide real stability after 2003 and to fix the electricity led to all kinds of conspiracy theories about what these true motives were. And this has really complicated the American forces' legitimacy in Iraq since 2003, which it gave rise to insurgency, and it's caused all kinds of trouble. And I think it's important to re-examine that and see what went wrong. And also, as a comparative example, you know, if another case occurs where the U.S. Is forced to invade another country, and I would argue that in Iraq there was no such need, how would it go about doing that?
Jane Araf in Baghdad, it's Miles O'Brien talking to you. Good to talk to you, by the way. And I remember, of course, 7.5 years ago when I think it was probably Donald Rumsfeld or maybe it was Wolfowitz said they're going to be greeting us with flowers. What's the departure mood among the Iraqi people as the combat troops leave?
I think there, it really goes to, will any of them notice? And unless we keep reminding them, which we are clearly, they probably won't, because these are not troops they've seen in the streets since last year. They are a combat brigade, but that doesn't actually mean that there aren't combat troops left. Pretty much all the troops that are remaining here are combat troops.
50,
they're just
them,
not
yeah.
tasked with a combat mission. 50,000 of them, you're absolutely right.
Well, let me ask you real quickly, Jane, sorry to interrupt you, but let me ask you both the question that we're asking our listeners all day, and let me start with you, Jane Araf, correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. Symbolic or not, we have reached a milestone. What do you think was the legacy of the U.S. invasion of Iraq?
Well, Saddam Hussein is gone. I think that is clearly the legacy. The rest of it, you ask American soldiers, you ask Iraqi officials, Iraqis in the streets, and they will tell you. It's too soon to tell what the legacy is. It's still very fragile, very uncertain, and it's going to take a few years to figure that one out.
Yost Hilterman, Iraq analyst with the International Crisis Group. What do you think is the U.S. legacy there in Iraq?
I think I agree with Jane. And what the United States leaves behind is a lot of uncertainty for Iraqis and still a lot of chaos, really, in the streets and in their lives. You just look at the number of young men who still try to get across the border as soon as possible.
Legacy with Saddam Hussein gone, but chaos in the streets. That's Yost Hilterman, Iraq analyst with the International Crisis Group, and Jane Araf with the Christian Science Monitor. What do you think? Has the war been worth it? And what do you think will be the legacy of America's involvement in Iraq, whether the war is over or not? What is the legacy that we will leave behind there?